Amen. Happy New Year. If you have your Bibles, we're going to book in the book of John, chapter 9. John, chapter 9. Father, we just pause for a minute here. And first of all, just say we thank you that you loved us, that you gave your Son to die on the cross and be raised from the grave. And we can be born again. We can be adopted into the family of God and be children, your children. And we know that we have eternity in heaven. Lord, we just thank you for this church. Thank you for our building you've given us. Or thank you that we don't have to worry about bombs and rockets and bad guys kicking in the doors, at least as of yet. So Lord, we just pray for America. We pray for a hedge around our country, that you'll continue protecting us and keeping us free so that we can live the life that you've given us here and we can spread the gospel around the world. Lord, we lift up the other countries, our friends and families that are in other countries. We pray for our missionaries, Lord, as we close out Lottie Moon, but Lord, we don't want to forget about it. Forget about our foreign missionaries and our brothers and sisters and churches all over the world. Father, I know I've read several articles where there's a great Christian brotherhood church that's growing in Iran. Lord, we pray for our Iran brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in the third world country who have cell churches and home churches and they study your word in secret. Well, we just pray for those pastors and those leaders and those missionaries. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over all of them. Help them keep them safe. Lord, we pray for our church family, the ones that are sick and suffering and going through trials and tribulations. Father, sometimes all we can do is just trust you. Well, really, that's all we can do, is just trust in you, Father, and your word, Lord. You said that all things work together, the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So, Lord, we just pray for our family members that are sick. Lord, help me this morning teach this, Lord, in the way you put it on my heart. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's kind of long, so bear with me. Put on your big boy pants and big girl pants. Is that okay? Can I say that, Pete? So, you know, so hang with me, okay? So if you're taking notes, anybody hot? You comfortable? Good? It's not too muggy hot? Amen. So John chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. So let's read together. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went, and he washed, and he came back seeing. Amen? He came back seeing. So I've started giving my messages these little titles, so mainly Derek can put them on the website. So if you want to listen to some of the messages, you can go on the website and check it out. He keeps a good record of everything. All the way back when we went through Hebrews, remember that? That was fun. And we went through, so you can listen to some of the messages if you like. But this one's called 2020 Spiritual Vision. It's very original, isn't it? You know? I think about 90% of pastors are preaching something about 2020 vision, you know. But this is 2020 Spiritual Vision. So when the Lord Jesus walked upon the earth, he healed people of a variety of different diseases. As you study the Bible, you see this. And there are several reasons why Jesus healed people who were sick. So if you're taking notes, we're going to, you know, start going through. And so we can take some notes. Is the biggest reason that Jesus healed people is because he came to help hurting people. Anytime there was a person who had a hurt in their life, the compassion and the love of Jesus was extended to them. Okay? And so the first reason, Jesus loved people. And when they hurt, he hurt. And he did things necessary in order to relieve them of their hurt. Another reason that Jesus healed people of their diseases is because it provides and proves that he is and was the Messiah. In Isaiah 35, it talks about predicting the coming of the Messiah. And it says that when the Messiah would come, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. So this is a fulfillment of prophecy. This Jesus healed this blind man, and it's a fulfillment of prophecy, not only physically but also spiritually, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. In John's Gospel, in the book of John, chapter 20, 31, and 32, John talks about how all the miracles were not really recorded in the Gospels. And John talks about how he picked out certain miracles and wrote them down in order to really prove that Jesus was the Messiah. And there's seven miracles that talks about Jesus, you know, healing people and saving people. And it was a good illustration of the power of Jesus and that he really was the Messiah. So, what Jesus did in the physical realm, it illustrates what Jesus can do in the spiritual realm. When Jesus healed a man from birth, it illustrated exactly that he was the Messiah. Now, when we look at the ninth chapter of John, it's talking about him healing this man. And we're only going to look at a few verses of it. He talks about the miraculous cure. So we look at the first eight verses of it. He talks about this curing this man of his blindness. So we begin with the condition of the man in the verse. This man was blind since birth. Now, all of us who have the benefit of sight, I don't think we can really understand what this man was going through. Think about this man. He was blind since birth. He was never able to see his loved one. He was never able to see the beautiful color of a flower. He was never able to see the awesome blue sky or see the stars at night. He was never able to see a free-flowing river or a beautiful stream or the mountains. This man was confined to a narrow world of darkness. Now, I read a few days ago that in America, every 20 minutes, someone goes blind. That's amazing, isn't it? My mother has been blind, completely blind in one eye since she was a teenager. And I occasionally, several times a year, since I've been a little kid, every once in a while, I'll put my hand up over one eye and just look around. Everybody do that with me. It seems kind of goofy, I know. Put your palm up the one eye. Just keep your eye open, though. Keep your eye open and just look around. Now put your palms up both eyes. Go ahead. I know it's humiliating, but go ahead and do it and look around. You know? I know it's a silly thing, but you know me. We ought to all be very thankful, right, of our sight. See, this man that we're talking about this morning was blind since birth. And there's a lesson that we can all be learned. There's a lesson that we can learn in this. There is a blindness that extends beyond the optic nerve and the retina. There's a blindness that the Bible describes as spiritual blindness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about that and says this: in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Ephesians 4:18 says this. Ephesians 4:18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. You know, it's a tragedy to not be able to see things physically. But I think it's worse to not be able to see things spiritually. And we all know there's two worlds. There's a physical world and there's a spiritual world. There are some folks that can see the physical world real well, but they can't see the spiritual world. And I think it's an awful thing. I think it's terrible. I think it's sad that some folks can't see the spiritual world. They never see the reality of God Almighty. They never are able to see what Jesus Christ can do for them, for their family, for their life on earth. They miss it. They're spiritually just blind. And ultimately, they miss spending eternity with God. I think that's very sad. This man that we're talking about this morning was blind. He is a picture of the condition of someone who is outside of Jesus Christ. So, hear the spiritual message this morning. This man was blind from birth, and the Bible tells us that our spiritual blindness is something that happens from birth also. The Bible says that we're all born into sin. That means from the time that we are born, we have this problem called sin. This man was blind from birth, but he was also a beggar. He sat and he begged. And let me tell you guys, sin makes us a beggar too. Sin makes us a beggar. Sin takes your life and turns it into a spiritual beggar. Be very careful. As Christians, as followers of Christ, if we start tiptoeing into sin, you eventually become a beggar. You really think about that real deep now. So here in front of us, we see the condition of a man, this blind man. And it is a picture of all of us and what it means where sin separates us on the outside of Christ. People that are lost in the world, they're outside of Christ. Now let me bring up a really interesting point here in this scripture. It's the second verse, and it really points out the confusion of the disciples. It's rather amazing to me of how they could get to this point. And how the disciples ended up with such a hard heart when it comes to this man. They spent all this time with Jesus, hanging out witnessing how Jesus' love and compassion on other people. And it just seems like that these disciples had absolutely no pity over this blind man. You see, they saw him. The blind man, they saw him. They probably had seen him before. And all they could do is begin to raise up philosophical questions. To them, rather than someone who needed help, they looked at this man as some sort of philosophical problem that they need to discuss and talk about. We just read it. There are some people like that today, still today. There are some people that human hurt doesn't seem to give them any compassion at all. All they want to do is form a committee somewhere and discuss the problem. We saw it in California with the homeless people. It's a whole other subject. These disciples looked at the man and they said, "Master, who did sin? Who did sin?" You see, what they were trying to do is trying to decide if it was his fault or if it was his parents' fault. And I get that question a lot in my field. And I try not to go there with anyone. What they're really reflecting was this common ideas that they had during that time. They were just simply really reflecting the philosophy and the theology of that day that they lived. They say, let's spend some time right here real quick. There were three basic theories floating around in that day that caused people to suffer. These were theories. And there were basically three that floated around that they thought was the reason that people suffered. And I'm going to share two real quick because they're so ridiculous that I just want to fly through these. One is the doctrine of reincarnation. And we know that reincarnation is not anything new. All these heresies and false religions and false theories out there, they're not new. They've been around probably since the beginning of time. But the doctrine of reincarnation was taught that a person suffered in their lives because of sin they had committed in a previous life. So they had an opportunity, they had a chance to get it right. So they messed up, then they had to be reincarnated and come back and try to make it right again. And that's ridiculous. We know that's false teaching. There's another ridiculous theory that was floating around that could have caused the disciples to kind of talk about this. There was a doctrine called prenatal sin. That was a teaching that was actually possible, that it was actually possible for a baby to sin in its mother's womb. And so when the baby was born, it suffered because of its own sins that it committed in the womb, and we know that's ridiculous. But that was a big theory floating around in that day. And we know that's very ridiculous. There's a third theory that is reflective when the disciples ask him, who did sin? Did his parents sin? Remember, they're trying to figure out if the guy sinned or if his parents sinned. So there's another theory that's floating around out there, and it's a third one. It's called generational curses. Some of you probably heard that. It becomes popular about every decade with mainly the charismatic type teachers. This theory, though, however, has a little bit more credence because the Bible does teach that it's possible for parents to cause suffering in the life of their children. It does. Some physical and some psychological. I see it a lot in my field as a counselor. Here's an example of something physical. Little babies that are born addicted to drugs. They are born suffering the effects of drug addiction because of the sin of their parents. You see it a lot, especially with fetal alcohol syndrome. Another drug-induced problem where the children suffer the sins of their parents. And there's a lot of different physical examples of how children can suffer from parents' sins. If you're pregnant, don't drink, don't smoke. Pretty simple on that one. Don't drug. Some psychological examples are, I'll just give you, there are some of us here today who have experienced suffering because of the sins of your parents, psychologically, emotionally. Probably say 30, 40% of us in here, if I had to guess. Maybe you were brought up in a dysfunctional home where there were maybe physical abuse or emotional abuse. Some people are able to let that go and move on, but most people, it does affect them, and it does hurt them, and it does cause problems in their life. So this theory has a little bit more credence. But, everybody say but. But, however, the disciples really missed the whole point in this scripture. Mainly because they were arguing or questioning from what we call incomplete information. This is the most, the biggest reason why most philosophies and most theories today miss the point. Because the disciples missed the point here. A lot of people today never understand the puzzle of life because they miss the key ingredient. They miss it. If you have the main key missing, then nothing fits together in this puzzle of life. If you miss the key ingredient, nothing will work in your life. And I'm not being negative or pessimistic. Y'all know me. I try to be positive and uplifting. I'm going to tell you the key ingredient in just a minute. Is that all right? Here's the confusion that the disciples had in this scripture. They look at this poor blind man and they have no compassion in their heart for him. He's just a theory to be discussed. He's just a science project maybe for them. I can almost imagine the hurt of the Lord as he looked at their little cold hearts at this time when they quizzed him about, well, why does this guy have a problem? Who's sin, him or his parents? Who can we blame? And how can, you know, they just completely just overlooked this blind man. So the key missing ingredient is love. It's love. It's the main ingredient. See, in verse 3, we see the compassion of the Lord. When we look at verse 3, we see the compassion of the Lord. And you'll notice in verse 3 that you really have to tie in verse 1. Because verse 1 says this. Are you listening? It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Don't let that go over your head. Look at this. This is wonderful. Jesus is passing by. Here's a man who had a need, and Jesus is passing by. I have good news for you this morning, my friend. Jesus is not going to pass you by and not stop and offer you love and compassion and hope. Jesus is passing by this morning. Jesus Christ is on the lookout for somebody who has a need today. Jesus Christ is in this place today. He is walking up and down these aisles. He is moving in and out and through and around these pews. Jesus Christ came to church today. I was very excited about getting here this morning. I knew the Lord was going to be here because he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Listen to this. Jesus passed by and he saw this blind man. Forget the disciples' little story. We can learn from their mistake. But Jesus came passing by. Jesus saw the man, but the man didn't see Jesus. The man didn't have any capacity to see. He was both physically and spiritually blind. He couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus could see him. That's the good news. That's part of the good news. It's the good news that long before you sought Jesus, Jesus sought you. Long before you ever went looking for Jesus, Jesus came looking for you. I'm glad to tell you that. I am glad to tell you that you are in the eyes of Jesus. Don't let this go over your head. Please. Jesus has got his eyes on you. He knows right where you're at and where your family's at. Let me tell you a little story and then I'll close. I'm going to read it to you. A little girl jumped up into her father's lap one evening and said, "Daddy, Daddy, what is in your heart?" The father said to the little girl, "Honey, I tell you what you do. Get real close to my eyes and look into my eyes and you will see what is in my heart." The little girl got close to her daddy's eyes and she looked and she looked. And in the eyes of her father, she saw the reflection and she said, "Oh, Daddy, there's a little girl in your heart. Oh, Daddy, that little girl is me. Hallelujah. How precious. I want to tell you, my friends, you are in the eyes and in the heart of Jesus Christ, just like this blind man was. Believe that today. Trust in your Father's love today. Here's the last scripture. But listen closely to this scripture. Psalms 33:18. I'm going to put this one to memory. Psalms 33:18. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love." Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for today. Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's one here that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, in this song of invitation, they would come down and make it right, give their life to Christ. Lord, maybe someone's here like to join our church or maybe get baptized. Lord, I'd love to talk with them. Father, we just give this all over to you. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.